Good Sunday morning, and welcome to Hot Topics, a presentation of Hot 99.5's Community Affairs Department on Duval's Only R&B. Here's Julie Morgan.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Julie Morgan. It's the start of the school year, so we're focused on education. One organization that is statewide is Take Stock in Children. What does this organization offer your students in school? How early do they start working with students? Is it for your child? If it is, how can you get them signed up? Today, I'm joined by Leah Lynch, the Executive Director of Take Stock in Children. Leah, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about Take Stock in Children. What exactly is it?
Take Stock in Children is a mentoring scholarship program that is statewide and has been around since 1995. We enroll deserving students and match them with a volunteer mentor, in-school support, college and career readiness, and we create a pathway to college with a two-year prepaid college scholarship.
Okay. That last part I didn't know about, so we're definitely going to get into that. That sounds really good. Okay, so I understand now, when I went on to the website, it's takestockjax.org.
Yes.
When I went to your website, I also saw that you're a part of Goodwill. How does that work?
Take Stock in Children is a statewide organization, and we have one 501c3 in Miami, which is our state office. And then the programs in each county are subcontracted to a 501c3 that has a like mission statement. And we are so blessed here in Duval County to be under the Goodwill umbrella, which really supports us with additional resources in finance and in marketing and in HR support that a small program just wouldn't have access to.
Who started Take Stock in Children and why?
It was actually started in 1995, and it was designed for high school dropout prevention. And we've done a remarkable job. We realized 14 years into the program that we were getting the students out of high school and we were enrolling them into college. But with that college scholarship, we realized that we were having a breakdown in our students' success through college. And so we really changed the mission statement. We're still targeting the same students. We're still working in the same demographics. But now it's not just about getting kids to college. It's getting them through college. And we've changed our focus to that college and career readiness probably about 8 years ago. Don Pemberton was our founder and is still a vital part of the program. And how simple and brilliant the program was designed 22 years ago is as effective today. We're just able to add those additional college readiness pieces to ensure that those scholarships are and that investment we're making the students comes to fruition.
So what type of students do you target?
Our students are not the typical kids that would get a scholarship. We are not looking at the 4.0s or the 3.5 GPAs. The mean average of about 400 students in the program in Duval County currently, we are enrolling more, but our mean GPA is a 2.7. So we're looking at those students that may struggle through high school and might need that support with a mentor and in-school coaching to get through high school, but will have very limited access to post-secondary education. They're not going to qualify for Bright Futures. They're not going to qualify for a lot of the academic-based money that's out there. But if we can start creating a vision and we enroll our students in the 6th, 7th, 8th grade, we create that vision early on in the students and having that conversation and tying it to a promise to college, we really can create a broader funnel of students ready and who will be successful in post-secondary ed.
You said 6th, 7th, and 8th.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Why those grades? It's obviously right after elementary school.
Again, back to Don Pemberton's design, it was very well done. Just targeting the students before, if we wait to the 11th and 12th grade, they've made that decision whether they're going to go to post-secondary or not. If we can instill a mentor in their lives that stays with them year after year and that constant conversation about post-secondary ed and then the need, whether it's a two-year associate's or four-year degree, we know that every student needs to have some form of post-secondary training to have marketable skill and to be gainfully employed. And we target those ages so we can start to create that vision earlier on and to make sure they're staying on the path of, one, completing high school and to having that vision of college.
Do they have to, enroll in the program? How does that work?
Our students do enroll in the program. It is a little bit of a lengthy application because there's a scholarship attached to it. 100% of our students are a need-based or scholarship, so they must qualify for free and reduced lunch. They are referred to us through parents, through other child-serving agencies, through the school systems, through counselors, through grandparents. We are always looking for new students. We are usually carrying a waiting list. We always wish we had more resources and to serve more students, but we're always looking for those applications. The student comes into the program. They have to have a 2.5 GPA to enter the program. They must maintain a 2.0 GPA to stay in the program. Good behavior, good attendance, and graduate with a Florida Standard Diploma, and then we are able to activate that scholarship for them once they graduate.
So you have students that stay in the program from 6th through 12th grade?
Almost all of our students. I would say about 90%. We have, once they're in the program, with the mentorship and with our college success coaches, which are embedded in the schools, those wraparound services really do make sure that our students graduate. Our graduation rate year after year is anywhere from 97 to 100% of the students who enrolled in our program graduate high school. Our college enrollment is anywhere from 82 to 92% depending on our years. So we know that we're getting these, we're capturing these kids or these students' imagination and their vision of what they can be. And the sooner we can do that, the earlier we can grab them, the better better success we have. So they do stay with us from 7th, 8th, 9th grade all the way through 12th. And then we stay in contact with them throughout their college years as well. And we track them through college as well to make sure that they have the resources they need. And after that many years, they kind of become family, and we know our kids pretty well.
When you first talk to them, do you find that they don't have a vision just yet?
Most of them don't. 90% of our students will be first generation in their family to attend post-secondary ed. So it's not, no fault of anybody's, but it's just not a dinner table conversation. It's just not something that they have thought of. They might hear it at school, but it might be something that they don't think is in their realm of possibilities. So we are that. We try to be that safety net for this group of kids that might be overlooked, but really have this amazing potential. And like I said, when you have an anywhere from an 82 to a 92% college enrollment rate, we know that these kids, they're going to be fine once we get them into post-secondary and get them through that first year of post-secondary. Our graduation rates start to speak for themselves.
Do they have to stay in the state of Florida in order for the scholarship?
The scholarship is a Florida prepaid. It's a two-year tuition-only scholarship. It's the most effective when it stays in state. We do write that in the contract that the students and the parents sign with us that we want them to stay in. But we do have some exceptional students that have opportunities to go out of state, and we don't want to hinder that. So, of course, we work on that case by case. But we know the scholarship itself has its most value when it stays in Florida and it's used at a state college or a state university.
A success story. Just one. Sounds like you have plenty.
Goodness. Yeah. I've been so blessed. I've been with the program for 8 years, so I can go back and think of many, but I'll embarrass our alumni because she's used to it. But one of our original students in the program before I was the director, Belkis Plata, and I'll put her name out there because she actually was one of our first students. She graduated, went on to University of Florida, and then went on to law school. She's highly successful. She is back here in Jacksonville and is the youngest Hispanic female to have her own law firm. She was also recognized. She came back to the program and is mentoring and has been helping students that need legal assistance. She's just been an amazing asset. But the impact of the program and the fact she's still very, very close, even to this day, with her mentor, she knows the impact of the program, and she's always so willing to come back and support us. And I think 2 years ago, she was honored nationally as Mentor of the Year and was recognized in Washington, D.C., and we're so proud of her. But she is not only a success story from the program, she comes back and gives to the program. And we have so many others of our alumni that come back and are mentoring back because they know what the program meant to them and their success.
Hot 99.5, keeping you up to date with what's happening in the community. This is Hot Topics on Hot 99.5.
How important is it for a student to have a mentor?
I think we all have mentors, and sometimes it's just one sentence that a coach said or a teacher said, and it just impacts you so greatly. But to have an adult meet with you once a week that comes to your school and isn't paid or isn't a relative, and that just is there that says, hey, I'm interested in you. I think most often it's the mentors, the adults, they're intimidated thinking that the teenager doesn't want them around, and it's just not true. The teenagers, they crave it. They have somebody that's theirs to talk to. I think it's really important, especially when you're talking about experiences that aren't in that student's life, and you're talking about post-secondary, and you're talking about possibilities of becoming an architect or a doctor or an accountant or whatever it is. That mentor brings those images and those ideas to a student that might not have them and make them plausible and real and tangible.
One thing you said earlier, which I thought was interesting, is that you have the student and the parent sign a contract.
Yes, we sign a contract when the student comes in. They promise to all the things we listed, to have good behavior, stay drug and crime free. The parents are going to stay engaged. They're going to make sure they update their contact information should anything change. And then we agree that on our side for Take Stock, we are going to match them with a caring volunteer mentor who meets with them once a week throughout the school year in the school. We're going to match them with in-school support through a college success coach. And we're going to match them with a pathway to college, a scholarship. And at the end of their graduation years, when that scholarship comes to fruition or that contract comes to fruition and they've graduated with their Florida Standard Diploma, then that gives us the ability to activate. So we already have their scholarship purchased and their name is tied to it, but it does not become theirs until they graduate with that diploma. And and we need the mentors, because the mentors really help us. We can't activate that scholarship either without Florida Prepaid seeing that we had the mentor logging those mentor hours. So really, that gift of time that our mentors give really is the scholarship itself.
How do you find mentors?
Well, hopefully opportunities like this. Anytime we can get in front of a crowd, we are always looking for caring adults that will give us the one day a week throughout the school year. It's in school-based mentoring only. We do all the background screening, and all of the training is obviously free of charge to the volunteer. We try to make it easy and quick as we can, get the match with the student. And then again, that college success coach that's embedded in the schools is also there as a resource and a support to the mentor, so that they know they've always got somebody as well to help them out if something arises. But we try to make that easy. We have a lot of great corporate partners. EverBank has been a fabulous partner of ours that allow all of their employees that 1 hour off during the week to mentor a student. And we are so grateful for the companies that do that.
And I have to throw one in that I endorse, Arlington Toyota.
Absolutely.
You guys probably hear me talk about that all the time, really. But is it difficult to find mentors? Because like you said earlier, it's kind of a daunting task. You have this young mind, this young person that you're almost giving to me, you know?
Yes.
And hey, I may mess up, you know? So is it difficult to find because people think that way?
I do think some people are intimidated. I think after a first month of doing it, you realize that's just not the case. You're just making friends with the student. You're just there to listen. They will open up. They will talk to you. But it is a daunting part. I think at first that those conceptions. We have been really blessed. I mean, we're always looking for more mentors. But just we're talking to church groups, talking to local civic councils. People are willing to give their time. We're always looking for more males. I think the men are much, much more intimidated by the process than females. They think that somehow they have to change this child's life, and you really don't. It's just as simple as listening and being a friend and showing up and being consistent. And that's really what the student needs.
Consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's possible that they may not have that in every aspect of their life.
Absolutely. That's exactly it. And if they know that once a week somebody's actually going to show up and talk and listen, and maybe they'll quiet the first couple times. But as an adult, we find a point of engagement. We can ask enough questions that you slowly start to bring those, the excitement and the conversation around.
Another thing you said is that you match the mentor and the student. Mm-hmm. How does that process work? Because, I mean, we're all different,
yes.
Right? So
yes.
It seems like that would need to be a very lengthy process.
It is. And we said that the application for the student is a little bit lengthy. So is the application probably for the mentor. We don't need a lot of information on the mentor, but there is a couple pages. We kind of call it our eHarmony page. What are your likes and dislikes? And we try to match up so there's at least a couple of points of common interest. And really with adults, that's all you need is a couple. The rest of it just comes. And we do an interview with the mentor. We know the student. And we can usually do a pretty good job matching those personalities.
So if there is a parent out there listening now and they're thinking, man, this sounds really good for my student, what do they need to do?
Well, they can go to our website, which is www.takestockjacks.org. And you will get our applications right there. There's an information if you want a mentor. There's also a contact form on there to fill out as a mentor. Our phone numbers, all our contact information are also on our website. Just contact us. We'll get you an application. Or even go to your school and ask. A lot of our schools have applications there, or they know our staff, and they'll make sure you have one.
And if there is an adult that's out there and you want to talk to that one person and say, you should probably do this, what would you tell them?
It is such a little bit of time to give. And I've been blessed. I'm now mentoring my fourth student. And you are going to change a student's life. And it sounds dramatic. It sounds like you have to do something huge. But just that little gift of time, you will be changed. I know I'm changed. I think I'm a better mom. I think I'm a better coworker because I'll go and I'll listen to the student and they give me just as much as I think I'm giving them. But I think it makes me a better person. But I know now they've got three in college, three of my former students are in college. They still are contacting me. When something comes up, I'm still getting the questions. Hey, what should I do? What class should I take? I'll be in touch with these young ladies, I think, for the rest of my life. At least I hope so. They're all amazing, and I'm so blessed to have been a part. So I want to tell mentors that that's not that difficult to have that kind of relationship with a student.
What schools are your mentees in?
We are in all Duval public high schools, and we also are in some of the charters. But we're in every public high school and almost all of the middle schools. There's just so many more middle schools than high schools. So we are in quite a few. I'd say about 3/4 of the middle school. If we're not in your middle school and you want us there, fill out an application, send it in, and we'll make sure that we get it covered.
One more time, give us your website.
www.takestockjacks.org.
Leah, thanks so much for coming in today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
And thank you as well for joining us this morning on Hot Topics. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Hot Topics on Hot 99.5. Hot Topics is a presentation of Hot 99.5's Community Affairs Department. For more information about the program you just heard, visit myhot995.com, then click on Hot Cares. And join us again next Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. for another edition of Hot Topics on Duval's only R&B, the new Hot 99.5.